The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 25. It is page 215 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped, beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailers were commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Amen. In Korean language, there are many expressions which equate a person with his or her stomach. We talk of a wicked person as having a black stomach. A person who pretends to not have done anything, although it is clear he has done it, we say we can see every corner of his stomach. To say there's a snake in the belly means that the person is treacherous. When something bothers and sickens, as we say, "It twists my stomach." To describe anger that we can't hold it in anymore, we'd say stomach is bursting. To say that stomachs get along means you have the same intention and thoughts as the other. And to say that someone has a good gut means that the person doesn't fear anything because he's got nerve and drive. And more, if a seller who has monopoly over a certain good and refuses to sell the good except for an exorbitant price is charging, we say he's putting out his stomach. The expression "slit my gut" is used to describe someone who, rather than repaying the debt he owes, turns around and starts yelling at the person who lent him the money. And so as you can see in our language, the way to describe a person's emotions and thoughts and character are often described in terms of a person's stomach. And what is noteworthy is that the Bible, which is the Word of God, also expresses faith in terms of the stomach. Apostle Paul warned the believers of Rome to be careful of false teachers as follows in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 18. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people." Paul testified that the false teachers who abuse God's words and only looked out for their interests as those who only serve their appetites. Unless they serve their stomachs only, how could they have exploited and abused God's words, Jesus Christ, for their own ends? The words from Philippians chapter 13, verses 18 to 19. "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Paul asserted that the enemies of Christ had as their god their stomach. He asserted that their god was their stomach. Now, a man's stomach is surely important to a man, but no matter how important it is, how could such a thing, which is bound to decay away one day, possibly be equal with God? So anyone who serves his or her stomach as God cannot but be an enemy of triune God who revealed himself in Jesus Christ. If the Bible, which is the word of God, calls the unbeliever who denies God as a person who serves his stomach or his stomach only as God, then how does the Bible describe the person who believes in God in the right way in relation to a man's stomach? Words from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Jesus, in describing persons who are to live with the Holy Spirit, said, "These were people from whom the rivers of living water will flow from within them." The stomach of the person who serves the Holy Spirit will no longer be filled with the unsightly desires, but be filled with the life which is from above. That is what it means. And this is the reason that when Jesus explained about the eight blessings, he preached as follows. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." A person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness of God is not hungry, although he may not have food that is sufficient for his body. The more a person hungers and thirsts for God's righteousness, the more he does so, he is likely to be filled with the eternal life with God, of God. So depending on what our stomach hungers and thirsts for, it will determine what kind of persons we are before God. If I only hunger and thirst to satisfy my desires, there is no doubt that I serve my stomach as my God and serve only my stomach, an enemy of Jesus Christ. But if I thirst and hunger for the righteousness in Jesus Christ, it is clear that I'm a person of Holy Spirit, from whom the living water will flow from inside. Now, today's text contrasts people who serve their stomachs as gods and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness of God, and from whom living water comes from their insides. If those people at Philippi who used even a woman who was possessed by an evil spirit to make more money were people who serve their stomachs as gods, then Paul and his party who saved her from the clutch of the evil spirit, even though they knew they would suffer for it, were those who hungered for and were thirsty for the righteousness of God, the people of the Holy Spirit who gave off living water from their insides. As we examined last time, when Paul chased away the evil spirit which plagued the poor woman in the name of Jesus Christ, the people who were her employers seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities like they were a pair of dogs. There was only one reason why they were so violent towards Paul and Silas: money. Because Paul freed the poor woman from the clutch of the evil spirit, they could no longer make any money by using her. This is what is common about people who serve their stomach as their gods. They do not hesitate to do what is evil and unrighteous to satisfy their stomach of desire. But if somebody comes along and harms their interests even a little bit, they step on them without mercy, without an exception, regardless of reason. Now, we asked a question last time about this very situation. Why did the people who employed this woman who was possessed by the evil spirit only seize Paul and Silas out of the Paul's party? The Paul's party was made up of four people. Now, these four did not do their own thing or did not pair up. When Paul had driven away the evil spirit, all of them were there together. Therefore, if the people who had employed the woman wanted to seize them, they should have either dragged away Paul, who was the person responsible for chasing away the evil spirit, or they should have taken them all. But among the three other than Paul, they singled out Silas and dragged him to the authorities of Agora with Paul. Why did they do that? Why did they only seize Paul and Silas? The answer is revealed in the charge they laid out before the magistrates of Agora. Verse 20. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar." The people who dragged Paul and Silas to the authorities of Agora, those who had employed the spirit-possessed woman, they dragged them to the authorities of Agora and then again to the magistrates of Philippi. And the first thing they said to these magistrates was that Paul and Silas were Jews. The reason that they had only taken Paul and Silas, these two persons out of the four in Paul's party, was because the two of them were Jews. As well known, Timothy's mother was a Jew while his father was a Greek, and the Luke, who was a doctor, was a Greek. So only Paul and Silas were by blood purely Jewish. So why would these people only seize Paul and Silas, who were Jews? As I said 7 weeks ago, after Caesar was assassinated, the united army of Brutus, who killed Caesar and Cassius, and the united army of Octavianus, who succeeded Caesar, Antonius, met at the Gangetus Valley of Philippi for a final battle. At that battle, Octavianus, who became the emperor of Rome after having won the battle, settled many retired soldiers at Philippi and reorganized Philippi as a special administrative city. Which was free from interference and governance of the regional government. And as a result, the citizens of Philippi had the same privilege and were entitled to the same rights as the citizens of Rome. And for example, they had the privilege of being exempted from different kinds of criminal or legal punishments. And so the citizens of Philippi, which was called a downscaled version of Rome, were loyal to the emperor and took pride in copying after the citizens of Rome, the capital. Around 50 AD, the Roman Emperor Claudius issued an order to deport all Jews who lived in Rome. The reason for this, according to Suetonius, the historian of Rome, was because the Jews frequently caused riots incited by an instigator known as Creditus. As a result, Claudius expelled among about 20,000 Jews who were living at Rome at the time, Claudius expelled all Jews who did not have Roman citizenship from Rome. It is estimated at the time of this expulsion took place about 1 year before Paul visited Philippi. Accordingly, Philippi citizens who lived in a city which was the downscale version of Rome were also antagonistic towards the Jews, in line with the emperor's order, which expelled the Jews from the capital. The people who had employed a spirit-possessed woman seized and dragged Paul and Silas, the Jews, among the four persons making up Paul's party because they wanted to exploit this psychological state of the Philippi citizens. Verses 20 to 21. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." These people who had employed the spirit-possessed woman took Paul and Silas before the Philippi's magistrates. Now, this agora, the place where they took them, was not only a marketplace, but a public place where trials and meetings were held, where there were always a lot of people. At that place, they labeled Paul and Silas as Jews. And the Philippi people who had gathered at the agora, including themselves as Romans, us Romans. This was to stir up hostility among the Philippi people who considered themselves as Romans against Paul and Silas, who were Jewish. And they charged that Paul and Silas were throwing the city into an uproar and were advocating customs that were unlawful for them to accept or to practice. If what they said were true, then Paul and Silas, who are Jews, were surely dangerous people, just like the Jews who had caused riots in the capital of the empire. Verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. At the testimony of the employers of the spirit-possessed woman, the crowd who were gathered at the agora at once all got up and joined in the charges against Paul and Silas. The Greek word kada, which is translated into our language as to charge against, means they attack Paul and Silas. In other words, at the testimony of the people who had employed the spirit-possessed woman who made charges against Paul and Silas, The Philippi citizens, the crowd who had gathered at Agora, joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And after executing a severe beating of Paul and Silas, imprisoned them. Everything that the employer of the spirit-possessed woman wanted to happen appeared to have happened. Here, we are able to verify the true facets of people who worship and serve their stomachs as their gods. If it is to satisfy their stomachs some more, they can be very cruel. They can be very cunning. Their schemes are so many. It is difficult for an ordinary person to even imagine them. But the problem, however, is the crowd who were instigated by these crafty people. Why did the crowd who were gathered at the Agora on that day rose up like a swarm of bees and attack Paul? Was it because everything that these people had said were true? Did Paul and Silas cause an uproar in Philippi as they said? Did Paul and Silas advocate some custom which could not be accepted or practiced by the citizens of Philippi? The Greek word ethos, which is translated into our language as custom, means a system, a practice, a regulation which is designated by custom or law. Now that Paul and Silas even once tried to change the practice or system or regulation of the Roman Empire, this was a complete and outright lie. The only thing that Paul and Silas did at Philippi, it was to deliver the gospel to Lydia, give her a baptism, and free a poor spirit-possessed woman from the clutch of an evil spirit. This is the only thing they did. This was something that they should have been rightly commanded for. But the employers of the woman falsely testified that Paul and Silas caused an uproar in Philippi and acted as if they were trying to do away with the Roman system, practice, and regulations. They did that to stir up hostility and to instigate the crowds gathered at Agora by falsely making Paul and Silas look as if they were like the dangerous men who had caused riots in Rome. Now, the people who instigated the crowd, the people who had employed the spirit-possessed woman were not many. There were only a few people. But because of these few people, the crowd at Agora became at once stirred and incited. The crowd didn't try to see whether what these people were charging were true or not. They didn't try to listen to what Paul and Silas may have had to say. Like a swarm of bees, as soon as the false charges were made against Paul and Silas, they all joined the people who were bringing false charges. They all rose up and attacked Paul and Silas. And this is what is peculiar about a crowd and its foolishness. The Greek word oklos, which has been translated as crowd, signifies public. A crowd is a collective body made up of nameless individuals. in midst of a crowd, I, as an individual person, does not exist. Then is it possible for the crowd, which is but a mere collection of people, for whom individual eyes don't exist, can have substantial and continuous existence? This is logically not possible. Therefore, the more numerous a crowd is, more easily it is incited. In midst of a crowd where an individual I do not exist, you lose your rationality and self-control, and the herd mentality is sure to operate. The fact that the Bible, the text today, calls the people who are gathered at Agora Philippi as a crowd, a mass, means that they were a gathering of people in which each of them had lost a sense of their own selves. This is why they ended up being incited by false charges, several people at once. This was not the first time that Paul had experienced trouble and faced hardship because of a crowd instigated by people who wished him ill, as we already confirmed in chapter 13 and 14 of the Acts. Paul was expelled from Pisidian Antioch because of the Jewish leaders who were jealous of him and the crowd who were incited by them. And at Iconium, he had to escape. And at Lystra, he was stoned until he was taken for dead by people. So, as we looked at these texts, I had said that to instigate another by bringing false charges was an evil act, while to be incited by them is to be ignorant. But when we say that being incited is to be ignorant, this ignorance does not mean that you're short of intellect. The crowd which expelled Paul from Pisidian Antioch after being instigated by the Jewish leaders were women of high standing and the leaders of the city. In other words, they were the intellectual elites of the city. But they became very easily incited. Therefore, when we say being incited is to be ignorant, it means being ignorant of God. If a person is ignorant of God, he or she is someone who serves his or her stomach as God's, regardless of his or her intellectual capacity or status or position. In other words, there are people who serve their desires, whether it be power, money, or fame, as their idols. So, depending on what they can gain, or depending on circumstances, they commit the evil act of inciting others. And on the other hand, commit the foolishness of becoming incited. Here is the very reason why we should never serve our stomach as our idols, but live on as the people of Holy Spirit, giving out living water from insides. It is only then that each of us can fully become an individual I who is awake, who does not engage in the evil act of instigating another or the ignorance of being instigated by another, regardless of what benefits there may be. And further, make the choice and live the life which I do not regret in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Paul, who incites others for the sake of his stomach, or who is foolishly incited by another? If Paul was such a man, then he would not have rescued the poor, spirit-possessed woman suffering from the clutch of the dirty, evil spirit, knowing full well that he will suffer for it. Paul was hungry and thirsty for God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. He was a man of Holy Spirit whose insides were full of life of God. And so after Paul was called by the Lord, he had never incited, not once, another person for the sake of his stomach, and until he died as a martyr. He never became incited by the logic of the world, the logic of the emperor. Paul always made the right choice in the light of the Holy Spirit. And because he was faithful to the life of calling which was given to him, he had not a single regret as he left this world. His very life was the crystallization of the God's words. Today, the logic of the emperor is overwhelming the entire world. All men are being ruled over by the logic of money. The value, even the value of men, are being settled by money. To say it in one word, this entire world is being incited to serve our stomachs as gods. We lose friends because of money. Because of money, the couple separate. Because of money, the brothers and sisters, the parents and children become enemies. Because of the money, our humanity is being wiped out. But even so, the world is urging us to worship money as our gods. And so many people are being incited by this. They become just one of the crowd which has lost the sense of the self and are becoming incited by the world. But let us never become hoodwinked by this false instigation. Let us never become convinced by the instigation of the world which urges us to serve one's stomach. The persons who serve their stomachs will see their lives disintegrate in air, just like Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 coins of silver, who saw his stomach burst at the end. The more a man's stomach is filled, the faster it will rot and decay away. Let us all hunger and thirst for God's righteousness like Paul. Let us live on as the people of Holy Spirit from whom the living water flow abundantly from inside. Let us, of course, escape the crowd which commits the evil act of inciting another or commit ignorance of being incited and live lives that are unique for us by making our own choices, by being guided by the Holy Spirit. When one day we stop our breathing, far from regretting our life, we will, like Paul, confess proudly before God, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith to the end." Let us pray. God, you did not make us as a collective body. You have not called us as a collective. You made each of us individually. You saved each one of us separately. You have etched each of our names in your palm. And you call each of our names individually. But even so, rather than living as an individual being who is awake before God, I lived as a part of a crowd, having lost the eye without any thought. So instead of living the life you want me to live, I have gone along with the herd mentality and became incited by the world who would have us worship our stomach. A person who worships his or her stomach does not hesitate to commit the evil act of inciting others. A person who worships his or her stomach does not hesitate to commit the ignorance of being incited for the sake of his or her stomach. Right now, the entire world is instigating people to believe that money is God, that they should worship and serve their stomachs as their gods. Please forgive my faults in being manipulated by such instigations and in committing the evil of instigating others and ignorance of being incited. I have ended up living as an enemy of Christ. By hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness, like Paul, allow me to live on as a person of Holy Spirit, from whose insides the living water flows abundantly. In the light of the Holy Spirit, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, allow me to live as an awakened individual being. Please allow me never to commit the foolishness of losing myself in the midst of a crowd. As a person of the Holy Spirit, always may I make the right choices and live the life I ought to live in the right way. And so may the life thus lived become the crystallization of your word, and through my life, may many people who have lost themselves in the midst of crowds rediscover the self that they have lost. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.